died on the cross, his last words were, "It is finished." And then he breathed his last. But the church in the East focuses so much on the resurrection. The empty tomb is really where they put their focus. And I think there is something for us to benefit from that emphasis. Because the cross without the empty tomb offers us no hope. If you serve a dead Christ, then you have no hope. The Apostle Paul says, "We preach Christ who had been crucified, but now is risen from the dead." We preach and we serve a risen Christ. And it's so vital and so important for us to consider the resurrection as the great article of our Christian faith. Let me ask you another question. Of all the wonderful articles of our Christian faith, the wonderful doctrines that we believe and confess, is there any article that if it were removed from the Christian faith, would completely undermine and shatter your entire faith? Can you think of one thing that if you could just remove this from the entire corpus of the Christian faith, it would completely undermine everything? If you take away the resurrection, the whole thing is gone. The Apostle Paul, writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, says that, doesn't he? If the dead are not raised from the dead, then we are of all people the most to be pitied. And he says then, our preaching is in vain, our faith is in vain. If you take away the resurrection, then there is nothing left. Why is that? A number of things. First of all, when you step back and consider the death of Christ and the events that led to the death of Jesus Christ, you will understand that Christ was put on trial. He was tried in the Roman court and the Jewish court and was found, quote unquote, guilty by both. They framed charges against him. He had done nothing wrong. But they were able to somehow condemn Jesus to death and the death on the cross. He died as a criminal, a cursed man, because the Jews hated him. They were so envious, especially the religious leaders. He was becoming more and more popular. He was performing miracles. He was teaching like none of them were able to teach. And he was having great influence among the Jewish people. The Roman authorities were also threatened by Jesus. And these two groups together collaborated to condemn Jesus Christ to death. But they knew deep down in their hearts that Jesus was innocent. Even Pilate himself confessed that Jesus was innocent. But he found himself in a very tight spot, that he could do nothing else but hand over Christ to be crucified. With the resurrection, God reversed that verdict. God was saying to Pilate, to the Roman authorities, to the Jewish leaders, and everyone else, "You were wrong. You condemned my son and you said he was guilty. He wasn't. He was right." whatever he told you is true. He told you he is my son, and that is true. He told you that he had come to seek and save the lost. That is true. He told you that he has come as his king of the Jews, his king of his people. He is true. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He had come to be that Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He was right. And to show you that he was right, I am raising him from the dead. And with that, he reversed the verdict of Pilate and all those people who had joined together to falsely condemn Christ. That's why the resurrection is so significant. Because it tells us that God was fully and perfectly satisfied with the sacrifice of his Son. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a clear and loud testimony from God to all the peoples of the world. Look at my Son. He has fulfilled every requirement of my law. And so following that, secondly, the resurrection is important to us because without the resurrection, there is no justification. Martin Luther said that justification is the greatest article of the Christian faith, the article upon which the church rises or falls. He was right to a degree. But I would say the resurrection is. Because Romans 4 verse 25 tells us that Jesus Christ was raised for our justification. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead in order that we might be justified, in order that we might be counted righteous before God. So that as we look to the risen Christ and worship him and follow him and lay hold of him by faith, we are saved once and for all. We are given the promise of eternal life, that no one can take away this life from us, because nothing else needed to be done, nothing else needs to be done to redeem us from our sins. And so the resurrection of Jesus Christ is of absolute and supreme importance to the Christian faith. Think about the incarnation for a minute. Someone has written that with the incarnation of the birth of Christ, God didn't really have to fight against any powerful forces. He just sent his Son into the world, and he came by the power of the Spirit. He was born of the Virgin Mary. But with the resurrection, he had to fight against the powers of darkness. He had to exert his every ounce of energy, if we can say that about God, in order to show his majesty, to show his power over sin, over death, to release the prisoners and set them free. You see, in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God is setting you and I free from the power of sin and from the power of death. And that is our hope. That is good news. That is something that we can hold on to and know for sure that we will not be disappointed on the last day. The Heidelberg Catechism helps us to, as we think about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Question 45 asks, how does Christ's resurrection benefit us? And this is the answer. I'm sure many of you have memorized this answer, and if I were to ask, I'm sure you could tell me what the answer is, right? First, by his resurrection, he has overcome death, so that he might make us share in the righteousness he won for us by his death. The first benefit that we get from the resurrection of Jesus Christ, according to the Heidelberg Catechism, question 45, is that Jesus Christ, by his resurrection, has overcome death in order that we might share in his righteousness, which righteousness he won for us by his death on the cross. Secondly, by his power, we too are already now resurrected to a new life. Through the power of Jesus Christ, we who are in Christ are already resurrected to a new life. Thirdly, Christ's resurrection is a guarantee of our glorious resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ guarantees for us that we too, after we die, will one day be raised from the dead. I'm going to spend a few moments just considering these three aspects of the benefits that we receive from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christ rose from the dead so that we might share, have a share in his righteousness. I think I've already made that point very loud and clear. I'm not going to dwell too much on that. But mark it well. Engrave that on your heart and in your mind. That you have a share in the righteousness of Jesus Christ because he is alive today. Because Christ is living, you and I have a share in his righteousness. God looks at us in Christ and through Christ, and he sees us as spotless, clean, as if we have never sinned before. That is a gift that God gives to us. And that is a gift that God is offering freely to the world, to the lost in the world. And if there be any here who have no knowledge of Christ and his saving power, hear this message today. That God in Christ, because of the resurrection of Christ, God is offering you his own righteousness. A righteousness that you can find nowhere else. A righteousness that you cannot buy with money. A righteousness which you cannot work for. And the question is, will you receive it? Will you humble yourself before the hand of mighty God and say, Lord, I am a sinner. Lord, I need this righteousness. Lord, I receive this free gift of your salvation because of Jesus Christ who is alive today. The resurrection of Jesus Christ also, secondly, says to us that by his power we now have the resurrected life. We have a new life. That's why the Bible tells us if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature. The old things have gone and the new has come. What this means is that we have died with Christ, as Romans 6 says. We've been buried with Christ, but now we've been also raised with Christ to a new life, a life of holiness. And we must be very careful here Because there are many in the church today who make the mistake that just because we've been justified freely because of the grace of God in Christ Jesus, then therefore we can live any way we want. That the demands of God's law do not have any bearing upon our lives. But that is incongruous to the Christian faith. You remember in Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul is going on and on talking about the grace of God, and one of in his excitement and as he's speaking about the gospel, he says, where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. But then in chapter 6, he anticipates an objection from someone saying, well, therefore, if that is the case, then let us sin all the more so that grace may abound all the more. And the Apostle Paul says, may it never be. God forbid. How can you, who have died to sin, live in it any longer? If you have died with Christ, you have died to sin. And if you are in Christ, you've been raised to a new life and a life of holiness. And this comes to us as an encouragement, but also as a warning. It's encouraging to know that anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. That the old things have really gone. That God has forgiven all your sins. As the Bible tells us in Psalm 103, that God has separated your sins from you. He has separated your sins, our sins from us, as far as the east is from the west. He has made us his own forever. We are bound to him because he has bound himself to us. And he is at work in us. And the work which he has begun in us, he will bring to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. That is good news. But the challenge is this, and this is where we are responsible. With regards to our sanctification, our growth in holiness, we have a part to play in that. Unlike our justification is totally a work of God's grace, an act of God's grace, which happens once and for all. But sanctification is a process in which we participate. We put to death the deeds of the body, in order that we might live in the newness of life as those who believe in the risen Christ. So much so that we can say, if you say you believe in Jesus Christ, the risen Christ, and you're not waging war against sin in your lives, then we have every reason to question the credibility of your profession. A Christian cannot make peace with sin. A Christian understands that you are constantly at war with sin, against sin. And we, by the grace of God, will fight tooth and nail that the life which Christ has already purchased for us might be actualized in us. Thirdly, the resurrection gives us a guarantee that one day we will live with Christ forever in glory. We will live with him forever in glory. While we are here on earth, we struggle and there is so much pain and suffering. But this one thing gives us hope that we serve a God who is powerful over the worst of our enemies, death. That Christ dismantled the powers of death. That he could say, death, oh death, where is your sting? As one of the Puritans has said, death died in the death of Jesus Christ. So we don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear anything. Because the Lord Jesus Christ guarantees us by his own resurrection that because he lives, we also will live. He says to us, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though they die, yet they will live. And while he was here on earth, he performed many miracles, which showed to the whole world how powerful he was. And one of those miracles was raising people from the dead. Think about Lazarus. Jesus Christ goes to the tomb. Lazarus has been dead 4 days. The sisters are saying, no, don't go there. He's stinking. The body has been in the grave for 4 days. It's hopeless, in other words. Don't bother Jesus to go there. But Jesus goes defiantly against the power of death. And by his own word, by simply saying a word, life is given to Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came back to life. That's very significant. Someone has said that if Jesus Christ had just said the dead being raised, then everybody in that grave would have been raised. But he singled out Lazarus by name. And that tells us something very important. He knows his own by name. And perhaps today he's calling some of you to come to him, to come and receive life. Will you hear his voice? Do you believe his voice? Will you believe his voice? Will you receive by faith the life that he gives? The promises that we're talking about here, the promise of eternal life, the promise of glorious inheritance with Christ, are only for those who know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, who are willing to enter into his death, to be buried with him, in order that they may be raised also with him. The Apostle Paul understood this when he was writing, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. It doesn't mean that he didn't know Jesus Christ. In fact, we could say, as a man who had been following Jesus Christ for a long time, he was now towards the end of his life. He wrote the letter to the Philippian church in prison. He had been imprisoned for preaching the gospel. He was a mature, well-seasoned Christian. But what does he mean when he says, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection? He simply says, I can't get enough of it. I've not gotten to the bottom of it. I want to know the power of Jesus' resurrection in full, in increasing measure. In other words, he was not content. He was always reaching for more. To know Christ better. To understand his power more fully. And you and I, friends, need to emulate that example. That we must not rest, but we must hunger for more and more of Christ, for more and more of his power, for more and more of his Holy Spirit. Which leads me to mention something concerning the Spirit of God and his role in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's very powerful when we read it in Romans 8. That Jesus Christ was raised by the power of God's Holy Spirit. Now we can say, and it's true, the Bible also tells us that God the Father raised him from the dead. And Jesus also himself says, I lay down my life and I take it up again. But I want us to step back and just think for a moment of the fact that it was the Holy Spirit. He was God's agent who brought about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. By the Spirit of God, Christ was raised from the grave. The stone was rolled away. He came out with new life, new body. A body that will never perish. And as we speak today, he's still in that body. Glorious body. A body that will never die. Why do I bother to mention the Holy Spirit as we consider the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Simply this, I want us to be encouraged and to be challenged. Because the same Holy Spirit who was the agent of the resurrection of Christ is now living and working in you. Someone said, if the same Spirit which rose Christ from the dead is the Spirit that lives in us, I wonder what we as followers of Christ filled with the Holy Spirit can do. We have divine power given to us by the Spirit of God. And we can do great things for God because the Spirit of God is in us. Will you be that man and that woman who goes out into the world and defies the powers of darkness because you know the Holy Spirit lives in you? Will you pray for more of the Holy Spirit to fill your heart? More of your power. More of your glory. More of your Spirit, oh God. Speak to my life. Fill my heart. Manifest yourself to me that I might manifest you to the world. Because friends, the truth is this. There are people out there, and you may know some of them, who are literally on the road to hell. And it will take the power of God's Spirit to awaken them from their slumber, from their sleep. They're sleeping in sin and coasting to hell, and some of them don't even know it. We have the good news to tell them. We have the power of the Holy Spirit to go. We are sent by the power of the Spirit under the authority of Christ to go and tell the world that Christ is alive today and that he will save to the uttermost those who come to him by faith. And we can tell the world of the glorious hope that awaits us when this life is over. That we don't have to fear death. Because we know Jesus Christ lives and we will also live. There's a song that I love and I want to try and sing it for you. You may know this song. You can hum along if you'd like. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. God sent his Son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my power. pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth living just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth living just because he lives. And then one day I'll cross the river, I'll fight life's fight, no war we spend. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth living just because he lives. This is what the Apostle Paul is talking about. So let me read this passage that we've been thinking about as we close. From verse 7 of chapter 3, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the sake of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained it, or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And that is my message and challenge to you. Press on. Press on. Life may be hard for you right now. You may have so many fears, so many things distracting you, so many things disturbing you. So many temptations seeking to hold you back, pull you back. Brother, sister, press on. Be steadfast, immovable in the work of the Lord. Because you know that in the Lord all your labors are not in vain. Christ rose from the dead. As we speak, he's seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And he is coming back with a crown of glory for us. And for all who have loved his appearing. My prayer for you, as it is for me, that we will be found ready. That we will press on to the very end and persevere. Because it's only those who persevere to the end who will be saved. May God bless his word to us, to his glory. Let us pray.